International Women's Day, Saturday, March 8th, 2008. Women of the world unite against war and poverty. The day begins with a march leaving from Thornton Park near Main Street SkyTrain Station at 11 a.m. and a rally at 12 p.m. at Victoria Square on Hastings and Canby. Later that evening, join us for a celebration in solidarity with women around the world at Trout Lake Community Center, 3350 Victoria Drive, with music, poetry, dancing, and more. All are welcome. For more information, please contact 604-780-7604 or email iwdvancouver@gmail.com.
The following is a live presentation of CITR News.
CITR 101.9 FM presents News 101, Vancouver's volunteer-produced student and community newscast. Now, here are your hosts, Katie Comley and Rita Farkas.
Good evening. Coming up in the program, we take a look at news with a focus on women in celebration of the 100th year anniversary of the International Women's Day.
We've centered today's features around women-related issues. We'll have all this, plus, as usual, art, sports, and your weekend weather forecast coming up in the next hour right here on News 101.
But first, in the spirit of Women's Day, News 101 reporter Rita Farkas had a chance to sit down with Daisy Clare, a crisis worker at the Vancouver Rape Relief and Women's Shelter, about the shelter itself and the importance of a day dedicated to women.
Okay, so Daisy, can you just begin by telling me about the Women's Center that you work at?
Well, sure. Vancouver Rape Relief and Women's Shelter is both a 24-hour rape crisis line and a transition house for battered women and their children.
Okay.
And we've operated the rape crisis line for the last 35 years.
Okay, and I see in the press release that this is Canada's first rape relief center ever.
Yes, actually, it's the first rape crisis center in Canada. Vancouver Rape Relief was the first one to open in Canada.
Okay.
And we decided to mark our anniversary, the 35th anniversary, on International Women's Day, specifically because we think the struggles that those women were fighting for, which was, women's equality issues, are the same struggles we're still fighting for today
mm-hmm.
as a rape crisis center and a transition house. So we chose International Women's Day to launch our kind of year of events that we'll be having regarding violence against women and what we're doing about it.
Okay, so I imagine you haven't necessarily been at the center for 35 years, but I'm wondering if you can give us a little bit of perspective. You said a lot of the issues that you're still fighting for today are similar, but what sort of changes have you seen?
And well, I've been here for 10 years,
mm-hmm.
And what I know is that when we first started, just because of the history that has been told to me, that violence against women was much more publicly acceptable.
Okay.
And I think that the feminist movement and the anti-violence movement in particular of the feminist movement was successful in at least making violence against women an issue and to make sure that most men know and most people know that violence against women is a crime
mm-hmm.
and that there is something wrong with it. It's not the ordinary situation that women should be in. Unfortunately, the latest United Nations status is that 1 in 3 women will be beaten or face some kind of sexual coercion in her lifetime, and that's a worldwide statistic. So certainly we have come a long way, but we still have quite a far way to go.
Yeah, and how do you think, I mean, this is a very general comment I would be asking for, but how do you think that statistics in Canada compare to that international statistic of 1 in 3 women?
It's definitely true for Canada as well.
Mm-hmm.
The Canadian Association of Sexual Assault Centers came out with the statistic that a woman is raped every 17 minutes in Canada, and we've
wow.
seen no change in that. Over the last 35 years, we've taken over 31,000 calls from women who have experienced some type of male violence.
Wow. And the center actually does house people as well who are going through crisis?
We house women and their children
mm-hmm.
and who are escaping male violence.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be their boyfriends, their fathers, their brothers, their uncles. and they don't have a place to go, and they need to, you know, come find a safe space with themselves and their children if they have children. And we'll house them here, and all our services are free and confidential.
I'm wondering if the center, do you do any outreach work in terms of public education? Because it seems to me as though some of these issues are really about helping young women get a better sense of the danger that they're facing, but also the ability they have to, you know, be confident and be aware of their rights and what is and isn't okay.
Yeah, we do public education speaking engagement, and we'd be more than happy to go to any organization that will have us and to speak on any topic of violence against women.
Oh, great.
We have a few scheduled for high schools, but we'll also do university classes, and we have done the university at UBC. We've spoken there at many women's studies classes and political science classes and different classes. So it's definitely part of our mandate to do public education. And over the last 30 years, we think we estimate we've probably trained about 7,000 women volunteers to answer our crisis line in our transition house.
Wow. So on that note, who are the women that work for your center that does so much work? Is it a wide variety of people from all different corners?
Well, I'm a South Asian woman, and I have been working here for 10 years, so we do have women from all races, but we are a mixed group of women from different class backgrounds and different ethnic backgrounds. And we also are straight women and lesbian women, and so we have quite a varied group. We operate as a collective, which most people don't even know what that is anymore because there's very few of them. It means that each woman who is in the collective, which is just over, you know, over 20 women right now, that's our decision-making body, and each woman has a vote. And any woman who volunteers with us and goes through our program can, at some point, decide to take up collective membership.
Wow, so just extending on that, what do you think are some of the major benefits of working in a collective or, of collectives in general?
Well, it's a much more democratic process. We have the ideas that we need to share not only our experiences but also our knowledge, so that if we have some knowledge, because knowledge is power, that we need to share it with the other women in the collective so that we're all as knowledgeable as we can be. We do expect women to do crisis work and also to read on about feminist theory. Both things are important. We are activists in the community and have been since we've existed, and most women know us as the organizers of Take Back the Night over the last 35 years. We did kind of make it national. Vancouver Rape Relief had a part in making sure that Take Back the Night happened in all cities in Canada. And we've been invited internationally, nationally, and locally to discuss our strategies and how we've operated our crisis line and our transition house, but also just on broader strategies on issues of women's equality. So I think, you know, women will benefit because if you're frustrated of, you know, in the situation where you're in, where there's sexism all around us and there's lots of violence against women, this is a place where you'll have real power if you're willing to do the work to make a difference. And that's why I think it's very important for women to take up their space and join the women's movement.
Wow. So you're always accepting more volunteers and more people that want to get involved, I imagine.
We also have a group of men and women who fundraise for us, so if there's men who are interested, they can give us a call as well and see how they can get involved with and transition house through fundraising.
I wondered if you could comment a little bit on the issue of feminism. It's a word that means many different things to many different people, and I'm wondering what feminism means in general to the Women's Center.
Well, I think that I think feminism has become a very negative word, or the F word, and I think I call on women to continue to use the word feminist and feminism. It absolutely doesn't mean that we hate men, and absolutely doesn't mean that we're anti-sex or any of those negative stereotypes that are, you know, purposely perpetuated. Feminism means that you're interested in women's freedom, equality, and justice for women, because right now we don't have it. We don't get it through the criminal justice system, And we certainly don't get it in our classrooms, and we certainly don't get equal pay for equal work, much less be valued for the work that we do that's not paid, like rearing children, taking care of the elderly. We've got a long way to go, and feminism is still important and valid, and women need to join the movement, especially, I would say, middle-class women or women who have more privilege should be considering themselves as part of the solution, and joining the women's movement is one way. Mm-hmm. Certainly volunteering at rape relief and women's shelter is a good step, but there's also places on the campus as well, and there's lots of ways to get involved.
Okay. And then you had mentioned Take Back the Night. It's a famous event, as far as I know. What was sort of the impetus for an event like that?
Take Back the Night originated in the United States, and women brought it back here in Vancouver. It's an international day of protest against violence against women, mostly we march and take up the street to say that we should be safe every night of every day of every year. But until we are, we need to take the streets on one specific day as women only and march to say that it's unfair that we still have to be scared when we're trying to just live out our daily lives because mm-hmm. of violence against women.
Okay, and finally, just any other comments you'd like to add about people's perceptions of the status of women in our society or maybe beyond that?
Well, certainly the conservative government has said that, you know, we don't need a women's equality because women have reached equality. Mm-hmm. And certainly there's been a serious backlash in the university campuses as well. Look at the sexual assaults that have been happening in Carleton University.
Mm-hmm.
A woman being date rape drugged all over the place. Certainly women know themselves that we have not reached equality,
mm-hmm.
and that we have a long way to go. And we're still being blamed for many of the things that happened to us.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that feminism is still an essential part of trying to gain freedom for women.
Okay. And furthermore, funding. Do you have an issue with the government? Are you partially funded by the government?
We have some money from the government, but we've always been asking for core funding. That
mm-hmm.
means not attached to a project and that we have to apply year by year, but that every woman's group benefits and supports women's equality. Therefore, we should be core funded,
mm-hmm.
and that money should be secured. And certainly we haven't got enough, and neither has any other women's group.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, thank you so much for your time today, and it's a really excellent story for today and, I guess, the year in general.
Sure. Can I just give our phone number out if people
absolutely,
want to,
yeah.
If women want to volunteer? Our phone number is 604-872-8212. It's in the front of the yellow pages if you forget. And our website is www.rapereliefshelter.bc.ca.
Okay, and so for people who are considering going out and doing volunteer work, what does volunteering at the center offer them?
Well, there's many different ways. If you actually want to be trained and learn how to operate the Rape Crisis Line and the Transition House,
mm-hmm.
we certainly have a 6-week training for that. It's on Tuesday nights from 6:30 to 9:30, and if women call, we can tell them about that.
Mm-hmm.
Four times a year, we invite women from the community to come and help us keep our house in good order. So that's another way women can get involved. And we also fundraise on a monthly basis and an ongoing basis. And if women may not want to do the crisis line work or have less time, they can always fundraise with us as well. So there's many ways that you can volunteer.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thank you for your time and good luck.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
And thanks to Rita for getting that piece for us. Now, with a look at local, provincial, and national news, we're joined in studio by our News 101 reporters, Carrie Baptist, Leanne Yu, and Tracy Fuller.
West Vancouver police are scrambling to locate a missing 4-year-old boy in the 1500 block of Inglewood Drive. Described as white-skinned, with long blonde hair, 3.5 feet tall, the boy was last seen wearing a black and red polar fleece jacket, blue jeans, and running shoes. The child went missing shortly after 1 p.m. this afternoon when he threw a tantrum and ran away from his caregiver. Anyone who has seen or does see the child should call the West Vancouver Police Department immediately at 604-925-5937.
Responding to controversy over their use of tasers, the Vancouver Police Department is making public the number of times officers have used tasers in the past 6 years. According to the department, police officers have used a taser 150 times since 2002. Police spokesperson Constable Jaina McGinnis says that in most situations, a taser should not have to be used. She says that most times, quote, a simple request to stop, showing your ID, or dropping the weapon should suffice. However, when dealing with a more violent situation, just a request may not be enough. The Vancouver Police Department claims that they use tasers in a safe and effective way, and the department plans to continue using tasers in the future.
The Vancouver Police Department is warning hopeful renters to be wary of vacancies listed on the well-known online classified site Craigslist. Constable Jana McGinnis told reporters that the number of scams involving rental apartments in Vancouver spiked last month. Fraudulent ads are being posted on the site, and when would-be renters offer deposits for places they find photos of online, the scam artists pocket the cash and leave the hopeful renters out high and dry. Constable McGinnis says that most of the complainants never hear from the scam landlords again and have no way of contacting them, as Craigslist requires no personal information from those who post ads and the site does not police its postings. It's really a browser beware situation, says McGinnis, and she is warning online renters to be suspicious of anyone who demands a deposit before showing the suite.
The only person convicted in the Air India bombing has been denied bail. A Supreme Court judge has refused to grant Injit Singh Rayat bail as he awaits trial on perjury charges. The charges stem from the trial of two other men charged in the Air India bombing, which ended in the acquittal of both men. Singh Rayat is accused of lying more than 24 times while testifying as a Crown witness. Rayat admitted to supplying parts for the bomb that blew up an Air India jet in June 1985. Rayat already served a 10-year sentence for manslaughter and the deaths of two baggage handlers at Tokyo's airport who were killed by a bomb at almost the same time the other flight went down.
And thanks for that, Carrie. We're going to take another quick break, but stay tuned. When we come back, we'll update you on more national and international news. Stay with us. News 101 will continue right after this.
Hi, this is William Shatner. Imagine a children's hospital network that boldly goes where none have gone before, and that's Shriners Hospitals for Children. Shriners Hospitals combine state-of-the-art research and teaching programs with world-class orthopedic burn, spinal cord injury, and cleft lip and palate medical care. At Shriners, tomorrow's medical care is here today. Call 1-800-361-7256 for more information. Shriners, having fun and helping kids.
International Women's Day, Saturday, March 8, 2008. Women of the world unite against war and poverty. The day begins with a march leaving from Thornton Park near Main Street SkyTrain Station at 11 a.m. and a rally at 12 p.m. at Victoria Square on Hastings and Canby. Later that evening, join us for a celebration in solidarity with women around the world at Trout Lake Community Center, 3350 Victoria Drive, with music, poetry, dancing, and more. All are welcome. For more information, please contact 604-780-7604 or email iwdvancouver@gmail.com.
The UBC Ski and Snowboard Club is a nonprofit, democratic, student-run organization dedicated to promoting the sports of skiing and snowboarding and the associated lifestyle.
We endeavor to make skiing and snowboarding accessible and fun by actively seeking out the best deals and discounts for our members, as well as organizing trips to local ski areas and setting up numerous social events.
Come on one of our legendary trips and explore the glory of riding in British Columbia. Or join us at the bar to discover the true meaning of debauchery. Ask your roommate, ask your parents, ask the RCMP. Who has the most fun at UBC? You'll get the same answer. The Ski and Snowboard Club.
Yeah. Joining the Ski and Board Club is easy. Come by our office, sub 115, anytime with some money to become a member. Your membership gives you access to all the deals offered by our sponsors, cheap beverages at our parties, an invitation to all club events, and of course, only members can come on the trips. Yeah. Yeah.
8:29, and the news continues on CITR. Now with more news, here are News 101 reporters Leanne Yu, Tracy Fuller, and Carrie Baptist.
Insight, Vancouver's safe injection site, is coming under fire again, this time from the United Nations. The UN International Narcotics Control Board has issued a new report which refuses to recognize the success Insight has had and which calls for the Canadian government to shut Insight down. This comes despite numerous and recent scientific studies published in journals such as the New England Journal of Medicine and the Canadian Medical Association Journal, which all agree that Insight is an effective and safe way to combat drug addiction. Vancouver Mayor Sam Sullivan also disagrees with the report, saying that the way drug addiction worldwide is being managed is a failure, and so new solutions like Insight are necessary. The UN is also advising Ottawa to stop allowing crack pipes to be distributed to addicts on Vancouver Island. Officials at Health Canada have not said whether the government will support the UN report's findings. Insight currently has permission from Health Canada to operate until this coming June.
The BC government announced plans to inject $209 million into arts and culture in this province. The funding announced yesterday by Premier Gordon Campbell will go to three different initiatives. $50 million will be used to expand the Vancouver Art Gallery. $9 million will go to restoring the Vancouver East Side Cultural Center. And the remaining $150 million will provide long-term funding for arts activities throughout the province. Campbell said the funding is important to offer BC's artists financial support to ensure we maintain not just a history of great art, but also maintain a future where art is nourished. Local artists agreed, as photographer Jeff Wall said the funding will ensure more artists stay in BC.
Nearly a third of Canadians believe Prime Minister Stephen Harper was lying about his knowledge of the Cadman affair. This is according to a recent poll conducted by Ipsos Reid that surveyed 1,000 adults. The affair in question refers to Harper's claim that he did not know about the $1 million life insurance policy offered to MP Chuck Cadman during his last days. The alleged offer was an attempt to win Cadman's support in defeating the Liberals in an imperative confidence vote back in May 2005. More than 40% of Canadians believe allegations this offer made by the Conservative Party to Cadman occurred. And a third of Canadians think that Harper would be right to sue Stephen Dion and other Liberals for making the allegations public on the Liberal Party's official website.
And just in time for International Women's Day, a woman in the news saves the day. A Montreal mother of seven is a hero today. She managed to save herself and all seven of her children from a raging fire. The children are between the ages of 2 and 10 years old and are all in hospital suffering from injuries including third-degree burns and smoke inhalation. One child, a 3-year-old girl, is in critical condition. The mother threw her children out a second-story window. Luckily, piles of snow surrounded the house, which helped cushion the fall. One child landed in the arms of a neighbor. Neighbors awoke shortly after midnight this morning to the sound of screaming. By the time they looked outside, the home was engulfed in flames. Montreal fire officials say the blaze started on a sofa downstairs. The house wasn't equipped with a smoke detector, which could have woken the family much sooner.
Thanks, Leanne. And it's now time for another break here on News 101, but stay tuned for arts and much more coming up on the other side.
Can't you hear the other thing?
What other thing?
Listen to it, Paul. Listen to the voice.
What really happens when we sleep? Discover the answers with a free 8-week course on dreams and out-of-body experiences. Begin a journey that will change your perspective on life. Learn about OBEs and how to have them and unlock the mysteries of dreaming. The course begins Saturday, 8th of March, and runs from 3:30 to 4:30 p.m. It takes place at the Library Square Conference Center, 350 West Georgia Street, downtown Vancouver. To reserve a spot or for more information, call 1-877-GNOSIS1 or email vancouver@gnosticmovement.com.
CITR.
CITR 101.9 FM presents our second That DJ competition at the Pit, Thursday, April 3rd, 2008.
CITR's second That DJ competition is looking for the most versatile party DJ in Vancouver.
It's quite simple. Eight DJs play 15-minute sets each, with a minimum of three genres of music to keep the party rocking.
There are no restrictions on what audio sources or what music style That DJ chooses to use. DJs must bring their own music and needle and provide their own transportation. The equipment provided will be properly functioning, professional quality equipment.
Interested? Send your demo to The DJ Competition, CITR Radio, 233-6138 Sub Boulevard, Vancouver, BC, V6T1Z1, Canada.
Along with your full name, email address, mailing address, home or cell phone, your musical style, and audio sources used.
MySpace submissions are also accepted. For more information, please visit our website at www.citr.ca or email thatdjcompetition2008, all one word, at gmail.com.
Welcome back to News 101 on CITR. I'm Katie Comley alongside Rita Farkas coming to you live from the Student Union Building at UBC. Thanks for being with us tonight.
Right now it's time for a look at arts with Katie Fitzpatrick.
Hello and welcome to your 5-Minute Arts Beat here on News 101. I'm Katie Fitzpatrick. A lot of events going on in theater and, of course, the dance festival on right now, which we'll be talking about in a little bit. One of the theater events going on right now in Vancouver is called 2 Degrees of Fear and Desire. Headlines Theater presents an interactive theater event facilitated by David Diamond that includes audience members' stories about altering their own environmentally unfriendly behavior. That's till March 16th at venues around Metro Vancouver. If you Google Headlines Theater, 2 Degrees of Fear and Desire, you can find out which cafe it's on a particular night. Another one is How It Works. Touchstone Theater presents Daniel McIver's drama about a divorced cop looking for a fresh start for himself and his drug-abusing daughter. That's till March 9th at the Performance Works on Cartwright. Now here at UBC, Theatre at UBC and the UBC Department of Chemistry are presenting a play by Nobel Laureate and Chemistry recipient Roald Hoffman that's called Should've. It questions the creative responsibility of both scientists and artists. That is till March 8th, tomorrow night, at the Frederick Wood Theatre here at UBC. On at the Gateway Theatre in Richmond, my hometown, is My Chernobyl, the world premiere of Aaron Bukowski's comedy, starring Andrew McNee and Alan Morgan. That is till March 15th. Also on right now is the Queerly Canadian Theatre Series. Repertory performances by Brad Fraser's Poor Superman, directed by David C. Jones, and Michael Tremblay's Susanna, directed by Jack Patterson. That is on till March 16th at the Waterfront Theatre on Granville Island. Another one on right now at the Vancouver East Cultural Centre on Venables is Into the Woods. Patrick Street Productions presents Stephen Sondheim's Tony Award-winning musical, which intertwines the plots of several Brothers Grimm's fairy tales. That is once again at the Vancouver East Cultural Centre till March 29th, so you have a little while to go check that one out. Here's one going on at another college here in University here in Vancouver. This one's from Studio 58. Foreplay, a new work by excited writers. A festival of one-act plays featuring original work by Studio 58 students under the tutelage of playwright Aaron Bukowski. That is till March 30th at Studio 58 out of Langara College on West 49th. Now, the big arts event going on in Vancouver is the Vancouver International Dance Festival, which I mentioned I'll be talking about later. It's featuring more than 20 local, national, and international dance companies in main stage, cabaret, and late-night performances. Performances include flamenco fusion dancers, Japanese dancers, the Toronto Dance Theatre, First Nations dance, dancers from Quebec, and local dancers as well, including a company Erasco and Kokoro Dance. Now, that is until March 29th at various Vancouver venues, so you can find all the information that you need at www.vidf.ca. And actually, the Georgia Strait came out with their arts preview a couple weeks ago, and they had a two-page spread outlining all the different Vancouver International Dance Festivals that are currently on. Now, there's also some events going on in music at the moment. One is Fire and Finesse. Early Music Vancouver presents music from the late French Baroque during the Sun King's reign, including works by Rebel and Couperin. That is till March 7th at Knox United Church. That's tonight at 8 p.m. Another one currently on in music is the Tin Alley String Quartet. Music in the Morning presents Chamber Ensemble from Australia. That is March 14th at 10:30 a.m. at the Vancouver Academy of Music. Now, there's also some events going on in particular for International Women's Day, which is tomorrow, March 8th. This is the 100-year anniversary of International Women's Day, which began back in 1908. There's some different events going on in Vancouver to celebrate that. One is organized by a woman named Delana Gail Bowen, which I interviewed on Tuesday on my show. That one's called the International Women's Day Concert, Celebrating Our Grandmothers. And they're going to have novelists, singers, dancers, actors, vocalists, everything. They even have a 92-year-old tap dancer who's going to be performing at this event. So that one is going on at St. Andrew's Wesley Church, and that is tomorrow night, and it's starting at 7:30. Another thing going on for International Women's Day is happening at the Anza Club, and that's an art exhibit, as well as some, they're showing some music videos by female-led and female artists, as well as a live performance by the Winter Mitts. And I believe that the art exhibit begins at 7, and then the band performance begins at 11, with the music videos somewhere in between. Once again, that's at the Anza Club on West 8th. Finally, if you're interested in taking a more literary approach to International Women's Day, there is the Sisterhood Women's Invitational Poetry Slam. And this one's actually on March 10th, so it's a little bit later, and therefore it won't conflict with the other two, so you can manage to come out to two events. This one features a bunch of local local female writers, and it's going on at Café de Soleil on Commercial, which often has some really great poetry nights. And finally, one more event going on in literary events unrelated to International Women's Day is the Teen Angst Poetry Night, which is beginning on March 11th at the Railway Club, and it's going to be going every other night after that. So organized by Sarah Bonneau and Sarah Morgans, who I am going to be talking to on Tuesday, March 11th on my show Arts Express. And basically what they do is they get together a bunch of people who have found, including yourself if you want, it's an open mic, they found their old journals and diaries and scraps of paper from high school, and they wrote really bad teen angst poetry and journal entries, and everybody gets up and shares those, and it's really hilarious. I've been going and checking these out for years. So that's something you may also want to check out. It's the Teen Poetry Night at the Railway Club on Tuesday, March 11th. So for your 5-Minute Arts Report, I'm Katie Fitzpatrick.
And thank you, as always, to Katie for that piece. It's 5:40 p.m. now, and before we go tonight, continuing with the spirit of International Women's Day, we thought we could add some input from our news team here at News 101. This year's team is entirely composed of females. We work hard each week to come together and bring you the only independent student-run radio news program in Vancouver. We thought we could bring some personal accounts of what it means to be a woman in Vancouver in the beginning of the 21st century. So we're going to bring in our News 101 reporters, Leanne Yu, Tracy Fuller, Carrie Baptist, and Megan Turcotto. So I'll just begin, girls. Do you feel, adding to the interview you had with Daisy Clare this evening, she was talking about the issue of women today still facing inequity in legally, on campus, in the workforce. Do you feel like you live in a world that is unequal for women?
I would say yes. I know we were talking about this earlier, and it seems to be that there's just not as many women in high-ranking positions, right? There's only, 2% of women as CEOs in Fortune 500 companies. Mm-hmm. And just speaking from personal experience, I feel like there's a low level of harassment that women face, mm-hmm. just from other women, from men, from whatever source. I feel like there's a lot of slack thrown towards women.
Tracy, what do you think about that?
I think there's that women in general are making a lot of positive strides, that the number of people enrolled in university courses is a majority of women these days, and the same goes for a lot of post-secondary school education, but I do believe that there is still that we are still limited. As Carrie said, many of the top executive positions are still fully staffed by men, and I do believe it's an unfortunate truth that women have their own prejudices against seeing other women in top positions. And mm-hmm. I think that that really limits how far we can see ourselves going and how far we can get until we change our own perspectives about how far we or what we can achieve. Mm-hmm. It's not only the men that limit us.
So just an extension of that, unless you two had something to add, the issue of feminism is such a, the word is so loaded and it has negative and positive connotations. How do you see, what is feminism?
Okay, I'm going to grab the mic, sorry. I completely agree with Rita. It's a very loaded term. If you bring up the term feminism in any sort of lecture here at UBC, whether it be political science or English or psychology, women's studies as a good example, everyone has a different interpretation. But I think what people forget is there are different waves and different kind of subsections of feminism, and not all feminists are man-hating, angry radicals, you know, bent on excluding men from our lives. You know, a lot of us here at News, like News 101 in particular, we have boyfriends, we love the men in our lives. There's some really great men that we know who have a profound respect for women, but feminism has definitely got a bad rap. Leanne, you look like you're jockeying for the mic here.
Well, I was just going to say about, like, women's studies and such, I've known girls who have been hesitant to take courses like that because they say, I'm not the argumentative type, I don't want to go in there and argue and make a ruckus and everything. Well, it's really not about that. I think feminism is just a woman's own recognition that she deserves to be treated well and fairly by society and, like, and men in their lives, and certainly from other women as well.
No, that's very true. One thing that's very prevalent in today's culture, we have some very negative female stereotypes that are floating around, especially in popular culture. I just want to throw it out to you guys. What do you think? Like, who do you admire as a young woman here, you know, in university, you know, as a journalist? Who do you admire and who do you think is setting a bad example as what a woman should be?
I think you guys all know my admiration for Gloria Macarenko. she is the epitome of a strong, smart woman who's made things happen for herself, paid her dues in a good way, and is just really successful. And I think she's a really great role model. And for, I guess, the bad role models, there are celebrities like Paris Hilton, people like that. And it's unfortunate because there are smart celebrities like Natalie Portman who often get ignored in, like, media and all of that because she doesn't exert herself into the public eye as much as the other starlets might.
Yeah, I'm not to speak particularly on role models, but just on stereotypes that women fall into. I find myself personally discouraged by stereotypes such as, that women get portrayed as sex objects or as just passive participants in the world, or that the roles they play in society are disparaged, you know, that it's not okay to be a housewife or a house husband, that when men display feminine traits, that that's weakness in them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those are the real sort of weak role models, and that's, mm-hmm, it's pervasive everywhere, these things that are coming at us.
And this is an issue that we see, given that we are on campus more often than not, for these days of our lives. This is an issue that we fight with every day, I think, is battling between your perception of what a confident young woman, student, educated young woman is, and what a young woman is being targeted as being and dressing for and playing the role as. And I think this is something that every young woman fights, is how to fit into that. I just had one quick last question for you ladies. Do you feel safe or unsafe in general? In Vancouver, let's say.
As a young woman.
I have to say I take a lot of risks in terms of walking around at night. And I make that choice that I'm not going to let things stop me from going out or, mm-hmm, living my life. And it might not always be the safest thing, but I choose to, mm-hmm, do it anyway, just because I'm not going to be shut in by that.
But you feel unsafe, but you're saying you take the risk,
yeah,
regardless.
Yeah.
Tracy?
In general, I feel very safe to go about my business in Vancouver. I look at myself as an equal being to anyone else out there, but I agree that there are some times that there are circumstances that I find myself in that I realize that perhaps a male perspective just cannot appreciate, like, mm, the fear that a woman feels, or perhaps anyone can feel, but specifically women feel walking home alone. If someone is walking behind you, how to describe how that feels and how at risk you feel, it's something that a lot of men can never really appreciate fully.
Hmm. Any other comments, ladies? Okay, well, that's a quick perspective of how the News 101 team can respond to a few general questions.
Katie? It's kind of nice to hear the personal side of the News 101 team. You hear us every Monday and Friday, but, you know, it's a pretty unique situation that we have here, having an all-female news crew, and it should be celebrated. And, you know, this perspective needs to be embraced and kind of explored, and other people need to be educated. So thank you guys for sharing your opinions and your perspectives. And that wraps up our show for... Oh, sorry. I apologize. We are going to our meteorologist, Selena Ferris, for a look at your weekend weather. Selena?
Thanks, guys. Well, we will be having a break from the usual winter storms this weekend. Saturday will be a mix of sun and cloud, a high of 10 degrees, and an overnight low down to 4. Sunday will be cloudy with sunny periods and the possibility of some rain thrown in the mix, and a high of 9 degrees. And another storm will be rolling in just in time for Monday. That's your weekend weather brought to you by the Storm Club at UBC. For more information, you can email us at stormubc@gmail.com.
Thanks, Selena. Sorry to almost cut you off there, but that now wraps up our show for this Friday, March 7th. The show... Sorry, it wasn't brought to you entirely by volunteer efforts, and if you'd like to share your comments, give us a hot news tip, or get involved with the show, contact us. Our phone number is 604-822-5334, or you can email us at news@citr.ca.
Megan Turcato produced this radio program. For more news, join us Monday at 5 p.m. for the next edition of News 101. For the entire news team here at CITR, I'm Rita Farkas.
And I'm Katie Comley. Thanks for listening. Coming up next, it's CITR Sports Fridays covering women's playoff volleyball action. This is CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
They're waiting for a miracle, and you could be the answer to the